Welcome to the Grootsbuurt podcast. My name is Rochelle and today we're going to talk to Cor van Driebergen about training your brain for both performance and for downtime, so relaxation. And we're going to talk to Cor because he's been on our list for a while. He is a boxing coach, which means that he coaches his clients while boxing. So he's combining the physical and the mental elements to optimize people for certain situations and get their mental resilience up to speed. Furthermore, he is a brain coach, meaning that he gives certain workshops on speed reading, memorization, and all other things to use your brain effectively and friendly. This episode is going to be all over the place when we talk about brain performance and the way you use your brain, because we'll discuss things from how to speed read and why we should relearn the way we read. And that has a lot to do with how we learned reading as a child. Also, we'll talk about living and being in the now using grounding techniques. And lastly, but definitely not least, we'll talk about how to work stress-free and brain-friendly. So stay tuned for what's coming up and enjoy this episode. Welcome, Cor, to this episode. Thanks for being in the studio.
Thanks. Nice to have me here.
Yeah.
This building, actually, sorry that I already start.
Go ahead.
This is where my grandpa used to work.
It's yeah.
For Shell. So.
And now it's a co-working space.
Now it's a co-working space. It's awesome.
But that's actually a bit of heritage there already.
Yep.
Super interesting.
So I'm glad Rotterdam didn't break it down.
Yeah, it's actually kind of beautiful right now, but it has an urban view to it. So you could say it definitely was a core building before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, super nice. Well, great having you.
Thanks.
And really looking forward to our interview because you're going to tell us loads about speed reading, coaching, I guess, mindset, everything around using your brain more effectively. But I think it has a lot to do with also your state of mind, literally, right?
Yeah.
Super.
Well, one of the things that I've worked with is that you can get every skill, but if you don't have the right mindset to work the skill, then forget about training a skill.
Okay, so it all starts with mindset, right? Yeah. Nice. All right. So before we dive deep, tell me more about your story. So you're a boxing coach, which means that you teach people how to box, but you do the coaching, which is mental coaching training, I guess, while boxing.
Yeah. In that sense, it all started with the brand Cor the Coach. That's how I got nicknamed during my studies.
Yeah.
And I like to bring martial arts within in that perspective. I used to do karate, but seeing the coach who does karate doesn't sound really obvious. So I made it the box and the coach in Dutch, which is basically a method which I describe how I can use your physical appearance also by moving to coach you ahead, for example, more self-confident, self-awareness, but also resilience. Because we have a lot of things in life that happen. And sometimes you need to adjust, and only by switching your body language. For example, you sit more straightforward to me, means that you're really interested in sharing stuff, and I'm relaxed, and I'm really...
Is it not a bit intriguing right now? It's like too much?
No.
Okay. So what?
Well, yeah. Really like
no, it gets creepy. So what kind of clients do you have? Like, what kind of people do you coach? And
I worked mainly with small entrepreneurs because I like the same as you have the person behind the business. But I also work in corporate, but also at universities. So I have like this wide range of clients, not only for the boxing, but and coaching, but also for other things that we are going to talk about more.
Yeah. Super cool. So you, indeed, you're a boxing coach, and then you combined this work with understanding how the brain works, optimizing it, let's say, for performance, both in, I would say, sports, but also in business and personal life.
Yep.
How did you get to that interest? What made you so intrigued by it?
When I started studying, and when you're studying at the university, people say like, yeah, one of the smartest people around the world. And I'm like, what is smart?
Yeah.
Or what is intelligence?
Yeah.
So I started reading into the brain, like, okay, what are the brain functions? What's important? Mm. When I learned more about coaching, like neuro-linguistic programming, all these type of concepts, I started getting more intrigued in the brain, because I've noticed that if you have a few specific triggers, that you can totally change your view. And then we say like, when, for example, when you train a dog, that you say, okay, you have to take your dog like this and pull on the leash or relax. And then your dog's brain will relax the same way. the same as how our brain works too. Hmm. Only we have like the human brain, what we consider that we can think logical, and but we're all irrational beings, by the way. That's
right.
And that's what intrigued me, because from there you also get this inner motivation. You can see like, hey, why are people actually who are tired are able to work more, but some people are like, you know, they have everything in life and they give up when they have to lift a finger.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God. And I was really on the one hand, I was like, what is this world?
Yeah.
It's completely irrational.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it intrigued me to do more research and to start helping people to overcome their fears, overcome personal obstacles, but also looking at myself from the martial arts perspective.
Yeah.
Because I started doing more martial arts and became more confident, I started noticing details myself that I didn't see before. Mm. And that those are the things that all link together. So for me, there's not one specific story where I have like, okay, this is how I got intrigued in the brain. It's already a part of the things that happened.
Yeah, you were always a bit interested and you just like dove in deep and you started applying, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
What are those details that changed things in your life? What kind of things helped for you?
Well, the awareness that we are irrational beings, that you don't have to be perfect to even become one of the best in the world. Mm. But you have to create a mindset, you have to work on skills, and you have to train yourself that you are applying these skills. A few of these triggers were like my most down moments when I started studying. My parents divorced. Mm. And I was back then, I'm still not one of the lightest people around here, but I was like this pear-shaped figure. and totally lack of self-esteem, lack of self-confidence. And I started noticing that when I started moving, when I started making my own decisions, completely by myself, not influenced by any other person, that my whole mind changed, my whole action list changed. I started doing stuff. I had like, during my first year of studies, I studied like 20 hours a week. I had 40 hours of different jobs, and I did competition training for karate.
Right.
So, and that was basically 7 days a week in the gym, or training, or lifting weights, or whatever to improve the technique.
Oh, so you shifted from being like a insecure, I would say, young guy to like a fully like energetic, in there, out there kind of person. Could you describe a little bit more about that, like, let's say the trigger, you know, because you're saying like you were trying different things. So what's the trigger there?
For me, was that I became aware that I was able to make choices completely myself. Hmm. And not influenced by parents, by other siblings, or by direct network. Hmm. And that was really, that triggered me like, hey, what can I do more? Mm. Okay, what can I learn more? Mm. And then when you are walking around, then you bump into other stuff. For example, during the time that I worked in the gym also, because one of the side jobs that I had was working in the gym, is that people came to me and they told me their life stories. I'm like, hell, I'm 17 years old. What can I do with this?
Yeah.
And then at some point there were also some psychologists and I shared it with them. They're like, yeah, you have something in you that people notice, mm-hmm. what you don't notice yourself. Mm. And people like to share stories with you, like to share their feelings, their pains, but also their pleasures. Mm. And that triggered me also to do more research. And then I was first thing that you do is like, what do your parents already have for books at home?
Yeah.
And one of the first books was from Tony Robbins, The Giant Within.
Yeah.
Which I started reading and started researching. Okay, and I still didn't. I back then I didn't understand any bit,
sure.
because it was all new for me. And then I started like you know, the law of attractionist style. Then suddenly you see things happening.
Yeah.
Basically, by the way, that's a thing in the brain. It's mm-hmm. called the
because you notice because you're so focused on it.
Reticular activation system.
Yeah. Yeah.
which actually helped me to develop myself. And to start noticing details, but also to learn to ask better questions. Mm. And with better questions, you get also better answers. And that's how I was able, especially between the age of 17 to 25, mm-hmm. I went off. Like that, all the things that you normally develop during your years between 15 to 18, mm-hmm. I took a little bit more time, mm-hmm. and a lot of things happened. From traveling outside Europe to basically get my first girlfriend, you know, all these things, but also encountering problems that are like, okay, that I could have been dead by now because of a few relationships. And it's like, oh, ooh,
Okay.
And that changes you in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
At least I chose the positive way.
Sure, could have been different. Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things that I still focus on every talk, doesn't matter if it's about the brain, about coaching, that your network is really one of the most important things.
Hmm. Because people influence you, I guess.
People influence you, but the environment you decide to be in, mm-hmm, is the environment that you are going to create. If you're with, I don't want to say losers, because some people are not necessarily by choice losers, but they feel comfortable with people who don't want to grow, mm-hmm, or want to stay in a specific comfort zone, or people who are stretching themselves. Mm-hmm. I like to be with the latter, because they let you think differently. And sometimes it's so funny that you think you're on the right path or you're on the right track.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, hey Corey, you're missing one obvious thing, and it's in front of you, and like, what is it? Yeah. You're like, yeah, this, and this.
Right, yeah.
The blind spots, huh?
Right, exactly. Everybody has them, but it's always great to have that, let's say, the second opinion in a way, right?
Exactly.
But great to hear. I guess I totally agree with you that environment is everything, and yeah, people that you surround yourself with are definitely of influence, also to what actions you take, but also to the way you think and do. And
yeah,
it's great to hear that you look for people that are maybe way different or ahead in certain fields, so that they can kind of coach you and say, you know, listen up, and they can be honest because you know them well, and the other way around, right?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, if I don't know them well, I ask them, because I always say I don't like feedback.
Okay.
Because it's really, because it's some ego thing.
Uh-huh.
But I really need it to get ahead. So and one of my values is, next to creating value for other people, is to learn. Mm. Keep on learning, never stop learning. And that's how I also met Frans Duits, for the,
yeah,
that's how I became from the boxing coach, also the guy from the Hoofdzaken, basically giving brain trainings.
Yeah, Frans Duits is the founder of Hoofdzaken,
yeah,
which is a company that actually teaches people about how to use their brain more,
yeah,
effectively.
Yeah.
Is that how I could put it?
That's the easiest way to put it.
Okay.
And for me, I love the practical side, because there's so much knowledge that we don't have about our own brains.
Yeah.
But the things that we do know, we can already use it to get ahead. And that's what I'm teaching also. And especially in this time, it's really nice that you can do it everywhere,
yeah,
from whichever place you are.
Because it's all online right now, I guess.
It's all online.
Most of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so cool. So let's dive into being that brain coach, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So you know loads about how the brain works, and mm-hmm, also how to kind of train it to be more optimized. What are the main topics that you teach people about?
Well, for example, when you read a book, do you sometimes fall asleep while reading?
No, I do not, because I'm a fast reader, so I'm like constantly aware, but I'm not a good example.
I know this from you.
Yeah.
No, but there are a lot of people that are reading, for example, and they're like, yeah, they're reading one page, two page, and they're like, what, yeah, the hell have I been reading?
It could be, I heard people say they read before bedtime, because then they fall asleep faster.
That is one thing, but that's a different insinuation, because when you read before sleep, often it's a fictional book,
mm,
which gives different triggers.
Right.
But for example, when you're reading non-fictional material or material that is really heavy,
yeah,
often people forget what they're reading, or they're reading and they're like, okay, I'm not sure what I was reading.
Right.
Either way, there are multiple things going on. One is that you read way too slow.
Mm-hmm.
Two, and that's also a combination of focus. You're not focused on what you're reading. You're thinking of other things, or letting other thoughts coming in instead of really working on processing the information.
Yeah.
And that's also a combination with mindset. If your mind is not like, okay, I really want to read this because I can get material out of this, or you didn't ask yourself the right questions up front.
Hmm.
Like, okay, what do I want to get out of this material?
Okay, so if we would flip it into like tips and improvement right away, you,
yeah,
would say have an intention before you start reading something?
Definitely.
That would make you focused.
It definitely helps me make more focus.
Okay.
And there are so many tricks that you can already start. For the speed reading thing, is already understand what your eyes are doing. Our brains are made for survival.
Mm-hmm.
If you know this part, then even we are looking straight now at each other, our brain is always searching for information everywhere around.
Yeah.
So this means that when you're reading and you have this book in front of you, or your laptop or article that you're reading, then you will be doing this while reading, instead of like, okay, here. And you already see me putting my finger automatically to get the focus.
So you would say that because your eyes are going everywhere, even if you don't want to be, let's say, so right now we're looking at each other like straight eyed, but it could be that someone else walks like in front of us or next to us, and I would definitely see that going on.
We are still beings. We say we're humans, but we're still beasts, if I would say it like this. But we're still made for survival. So if you see something passing by, your brain will first process it. Is it a threat, yes or no? And then it will get back to what it's doing, because the eyes are always a combination
with
the
brain. It's happening now, actually. Yeah. this is not a coincidence. But yeah, you're right, because you're always looking from that, let's say, from that perspective. Mm-hmm. You're looking out for something to happen, for danger.
Yeah.
And so if you would say that, you know, you want to focus on reading, well, it's hard because your eyes are everywhere. It's just good to focus on your finger moving underneath the word, because then you actually stay there.
I'd rather use a pen, because there's a specific distance for reading. Okay. If you're reading like this, you'll get cross-eyed.
Can you say how much centimeters that is?
This is like between 90 centimeters to a meter.
Okay.
Like approximately.
That's too far, you would say.
That would be too far like this. But here, if you took it, bend an arm, and you stretch a little bit.
A bended arm is like 70 centimeters.
Something, yeah.
Okay.
And then you focus on the tip of the point and the text that is above, and you start following this. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, your brain will say like, okay, what the hell are you doing?
Why is it needed?
But at some point when you understand that, because it's also a motorical skill, which needs to be saved in the primal brain or the reptile brain, when you get used to this habit again, then your focus will automatically be on what you're reading.
Cool.
And you're not going to search for other types of information.
Maybe also because you train your brain to say, when I'm reading, I'm doing it like this. And
children do it actually by nature. But the problem is when they start reading and they read letter by letter, they actually are not using to learn. They're not learning to use words or to create words. Because, for example, if they read A, B, C, D, they will tap it specifically.
Yeah.
And when you're in primary school, you have to unlearn it first to learn how to make words, and then you have to relearn it again to get focus again. And often the letter part doesn't happen. And what happens when you are going to study, when you're going to do more difficult work, difficult tasks, you haven't relearned to focus again.
Okay, so if we would take this back a step, you would say that children learn by nature to read by tapping the letter of the words,
the focus,
so they can make the words, let's say?
No. They read every single letter.
Yeah,
so
of they, that word, right?
So they cannot make that word yet.
Yeah, right.
So they have to unlearn the reading by finger or by pen.
And then go back to forming the word before they speak, basically, or before they read.
Yeah. And then after that, they should.
Yeah.
I said they should. Yeah. Relearn it again to read guided, because what I mentioned is called guided reading.
And we don't do that.
We don't do that. No.
Huh. Okay. So basically, we should go back to that kid being nature of reading with a finger or with a pen.
Yeah.
So we actually stay focused.
Yeah.
How much time would it save us? How much faster would you be able to read? It
depends per person. Some people really are. They need to get into that form again. Because that takes already some time.
Yeah, it's different. You really have to learn, I guess. Yeah.
But when the process is speeding up, some people can read up to 400% faster or even more. But it depends on the person. For example, I also can read quite fast. Mm. I started with 200 something words when I did the first time the test.
Yeah.
And then at the end, learning to focus again and learning really to what it is to grasp the idea. After one or two trainings, I already doubled.
Wow.
And I'm around 500-600 words, because for me that's nice, because then I still have some relax, because we are balancing between screen and books.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just want to relax also a little bit, even if it's non-fictional material.
Right. So with those 500-600 words, you mean per minute?
Per minute, yeah.
Okay. Whoa. I haven't counted it, but I'll get back to you about this, because I'm a really fast reader, especially when I bought an e-reader. Mm-hmm. Actually, that made a difference. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Maybe because it's kind of gamified, because you can click to the next page. I'm like, yes, another page. I don't know why that's really a thing for me, but maybe competitors drive. But the thing is that at least how I read is that I click on the new page. I get the full page. It's like a small screen. Mm-hmm. I see, like, basically my eyes scan the full page, like I see some keywords and then already start reading. So it makes it easier to go back to the keywords, which makes me not read every word, but rather the context, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, then you already have in your brain, ask yourself, this is what I said with the reticular activation system. You already put up a filter for the keywords that you want to find.
Yeah.
And if it has enough keywords in it, then your brain's like, okay, I need to read the whole material. Then it's important enough for me to focus on the text.
That would be the intention for me, right?
Yeah, that's the intention that you already put up front.
Okay.
But there are several ways. Some people say, yeah, you don't read everything with speed reading. Mm-hmm. I say you do.
I think I do.
But there are ways to start off, because you have like this normal text structure where you have like this paragraph, start with the first four or five words. Some people really love to read that first, like, okay, this is interesting, yes or no.
Yeah.
And then they start reading it again.
Yeah.
Because then basically you see the material multiple times. That's one way.
Okay.
Another way is to read everything. And then after that, selecting the keywords which are interesting.
Yeah.
With an e-reader, you can actually draw in the book, if I'm correct. At least with the e-reader that I have, I can do. I can make already notes up front that I want to...
So you tap the word, you're like, keyword, and then you read it, so you'll see the keywords while reading.
Yeah, you can see the keywords while reading, or you can underline it. That you already have a focus. But you can also, in front of the text, you can put like a straight line, or you can put a question mark that...
Yeah.
Or you can, you know, you can basically select it your own way. You can, by the way, you can do that also digitally on PDF.
Definitely, yeah.
Which saves already some time.
With the highlighter.
Now highlighter. I'm really careful with highlighting.
Okay.
I know quite a lot of students who have been reading like this amount of materials.
Yeah.
And they were highlighting the whole article.
Yeah, really emphasize this. I have that experience as well.
And you're like, okay, but what is important out of this? And then I'm asking them, really, can you memorize all the parts that you highlighted? Or are there a specific part that you wanted to highlight?
Yeah.
And then I let them do a different with a red circle.
Okay.
And in front of the text, just to write it out on paper then.
Yeah.
What keywords that they actually want to learn. If I ask you next week to get back to this information, are you able to memorize it better? And the answer was yes. Because highlighting is, at some point, it's an automated skill.
Right. So again, instead of highlighting basically all the nice things that could be important because you're just reading.
Do it in front of the text.
So a little bullet point in front of the text.
For example, you have a paragraph.
Yeah.
Growth Tribute is about personal development.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh yeah, this specific tip is important.
Yeah.
And then you just put I do it from you from now from the left, for your left side.
Yeah.
You put a straight line in front.
Yeah.
And then you write down three keywords.
From the paragraph that you
From the paragraph. And then you don't say keyword introduction, huh? You say exactly the part that is important. For example, using your brain the right way, or mindset triggers as a keyword. Whatever word is then in that paragraph, you can put it up front. Because then, you know, when you're reading it back or you want to memorize some of these parts, then you can just easily, oh yeah, I read it there and there.
Exactly. Okay, and then you have like a keyword finder, basically. So you go back to the paragraph and you see 2-3 words per thing.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, I hope this is really helpful for the people that are watching and listening, because I can imagine this really helps.
Because these are practical stuff, and we're already going into deep in it.
Yeah, we're going very deep, but I think these are things people are going to be like, seriously? I've been doing this wrong all my life, but
There, everybody has their own way.
Yeah.
But what I like is to review if the ways are correct. Or isn't that not just another habit, so that your brain gets lazy, because our brain tend to get lazy.
Sure.
Especially when reading, people say like, yeah, I'm a slow reader. No, you're a lazy reader.
and you want yourself, or you make yourself that way, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Hmm.
And that's how efficient we are. If you're not using it then fully, then your brain will not be used fully either.
Right.
And same with memorization. If you memorizing skills, if you go on YouTube and you search for people that memorizing 52 cards, for example, in a specific order, and then they set it up matching.
Yeah.
It's really nice how that works. One of the guys actually he has a world record, and a few years ago was a world record.
Yeah.
But he had the head on his table after doing the memorization trick.
Yeah.
He won the prize. He forgot his hat. You know, because memorization doesn't mean that you remember everything.
Wow.
And because And there are so many stories about a guy that also did a competition on memory. Yes. He came by car and he left off by plane.
Because he forgot about the car. That's insane. So that's another thing of focus, I guess, right? He's so focused on one thing, he forgets the others. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Super interesting. And you told me something that really triggered me. You said that we are not using our brains correctly while working. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, definitely. Well, we just covered a little bit about the focus. For example, with the reading, that you really pay full attention on with where your eyes going, instead of going everywhere to search for information, focus on what you're working on by guiding it. The other part is stress. And I'm not talking about stress that you are either doing way too much or doing too little, but talking about switching between tasks. Yeah. When you're working in an office environment, and especially people in the Hofzaak, I have clients that are... and.
Assistant roles, right?
Assistant roles, yeah. And they're really supporting everywhere where they can, mm-hmm. even if they're at home, even if they're at work. Hmm. But when you're near my desk and I'm working on one thing and I'm switching, like, can you help me for a few minutes? Getting back to this task is hard. It takes some time. And if you do it like 5 or 10 times a day, actually your brain is fried because your human brain works like a smartphone. If you have 10 or 15 apps at the same time or switching between these apps, the battery dies fast, faster than normal.
Yeah.
But if you focus on one task and you then finish it and you go then to the different task, your brain will actually reward you because it will release endorphins and dopamines because you're like, yes, I've done it, I finished it. Okay, can I help you now? Right. But when people are at your desk or then an email pops up and then another one, they hear something at the coffee table happening, especially the open offices.
Horrible. I have such bad experiences with open offices.
65% stress-related diseases.
I believe it.
Because also not about the cleanliness, those things. I don't even want to talk about that, but about being disrupted. We have several ways of being distracted. For example, I'm auditive distracted easily.
Yeah.
So when I hear a noise, then I'm like, oh, what's going on here?
Same thing.
And some people are visual, so you can put a lot of noise around them. But if you see even like this leaf moving, then you're like, oof.
Yeah.
And some people are kinesthetic. So for example, if somebody in your surrounding is stressed or feels gets the attention, then you're like, oh, what's going on there?
You feel that.
Yeah, that's kinesthetic more.
Right.
And if you know that, then you also know which triggers are working for you or not. Especially multitasking.
Okay. Because so you could say that being, let's say, auditive, for instance, that it helps you to, let's say, internalize information rather through audio. Well, talking, conversations. I think you really memorize conversations right?
Yeah.
Rather than faces, maybe.
Yeah.
But it also, it's the trigger that is both serving you and actually breaking you down, let's say, in the office space.
Do you know how I learned that I found out that I was auditive distracted?
No.
You just mentioned about having conversations with people. Sometimes I totally forgot the face of the people. And then I remembered actually through a conversation that I have with a person that, this was this person.
Yeah. I have the same thing. I think auditive as well. Like, I will never forget something someone said, even if they said, for instance, like super small thing, I'll be there on the Friday, the 10th at 9:30 and I'll take 1.5 hours for this workshop. I will remember that. I'll write it down. Mm-hmm. And then when someone sends me an invite for like 45 minutes on a Thursday afternoon instead of that Friday, and they're like, oh, here you go. I'm like, but you said that. They're like, oh, really? I don't really recall. I'm like, how could you forget? But I think that's how you know, right?
Yeah. But also conversations, for example, when we have this conversation, even if you edit the video after this one, I will remember what I've said.
Sure.
Because the interaction between, because that interaction is also the way how you store information, like with emotion. You have two parts in the brain that actually stores the information. In an illogical way, actually.
Okay.
We will get into that a little bit later.
But going back to the office space.
Different tasks are creating stress.
Yeah.
So for example, if you don't say like, okay, this is how I want to work, or you didn't set your borders, you basically create unnecessary stress upon you. So one of the tips that I often give, okay, do you want to work more free? Okay, set limits even on your agenda. That you don't want to be disturbed by this time. And people that disturb you, first you have to teach them, like, okay, these are the times that I really want to work focused. With the email, all the blings, the beeps, and shut them off. Yeah. Only when you have a specific role, often a management assistant,
yeah.
Supportive staff, they have to have multiple balls yeah. in the air.
Yeah.
And that sometimes it's something that they need to get used to, that they say like, okay, between this time I can do a specific type of task.
Okay.
And another thing about stress related, often what I teach people during the trainings, do the difficult task in the morning and in the afternoon do the talking.
What's a difficult task then, for instance?
Difficult task is where you have to use the human brain for, where you have to think of different aspects, different facts, where you have to put them together. For example, if you have to create an event,
yeah.
Then the most difficult task is to structure it first.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, after you structured stuff, you can go in the afternoon, you can do the calls, you can do the meetings, because it's lighter. Because then you only can sit, lay back, and then you can say if you can fill it in into the puzzle.
So start with the hard tasks,
yeah.
and then go to the,
yeah.
the easier conversations.
Yeah.
And in between, you would say, like, if you have your email that's very important to you, then have, like, certain moments during the day, let's say?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Not like, okay, email's coming in. Okay, within 5 minutes, I will answer it.
Yeah.
I've learned that if people send you an email, it's not that urgent. If they call you
then it's
two times, then it's urgent.
Yeah.
And if you learn that when they call, it's not urgent, then I don't pick up anymore.
Right. Right. That's a very smart one. Okay, so you're saying that all this multitasking and all this going back and forth and all the triggers
yeah.
and all the bells and all that stuff, that is stressing our brains out,
yeah.
therefore frying our brains and making us feel drained at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You also mentioned being underworked and then getting stressed from that. How does that work?
Yeah, you know the phenomenon bore out?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has actually the same implications as burnout. You are thinking, you're doing a lot of stuff in your brain, but nothing comes out of you, actually. A few days ago, I talked with some people who have been in the house all the time because they didn't have any jobs going on, but they were doing
during
all the
corona times, yeah, right?
Yeah, 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 doing all the household work, and yeah. they were doing groceries, the things, you know, mm-hmm. what you would normally don't spend too much time on, and you just do it, and then you go on with the next one.
Yeah.
They didn't get intellectually challenged.
Right.
And because of that, they're like, oh yeah, nice, this is life. And then okay. just the energy gets drained.
So they're busy, but busy with things that are not intellectually
yeah.
challenging or interesting.
Yeah.
And therefore they get a bore out,
yeah.
which gives them stress. How does that work?
Well, the thing is, like, as we say that we are human beings, but I believe that we're more human doings. We want
yeah.
to do stuff.
Yeah.
But that's our nature. That's why we built these great buildings. That's why we built cars. That's why we built, even writing down something is doing.
Yeah.
And if you have a feeling that you're not doing, then basically your brain's like, yeah, you're not using me completely. And then stress will build up.
Interesting.
Even moving, you know, one of the things I like to compare with chimpanzees, we have 97% DNA. They lay down 16 hours a day. Doing nothing, like monkeying around, huh? And then 8 hours they are doing whatever they can. They jump around, they use full force, they annoy each other,
yeah.
They've got conversations as they have, they communicate with each other,
yeah.
They work with each other, and if you don't have these stimuli,
yeah,
then basically your brain is like, oh yeah. Yeah.
So you need like the rest, of course, but
yeah.
you also need the action.
Yeah.
The triggers, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And some people have it more than other people, mm-hmm. but it is something that we are needing, because this goes back to the human needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a different topic again.
Yeah, but I think relates very much to what we're doing and to our icon and the logo. But,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I like from you guys, is you are really working on this. It all covers, you know, the brain is like, if you use it, and that's what I say, it's a tool,
yeah.
Which is made for survival.
Mm-hmm.
But as human beings, we have this prefrontal cortex,
yeah.
which you can use actually to create stuff, to build stuff, to
yeah.
do the difficult stuff.
And we want to.
And we want to. That's our inner drive.
Yeah.
You see it already with children.
Yeah. Cannot sit still.
They cannot sit still at all.
No. Cool. All right. And if we go back to your coaching business, which you combine,
mm-hmm.
How does the physical movement, the exercise, help and actually kind of complement the brain? What's that relationship?
Yeah, the thing is, for what I like from fighting is something that's in deep in us.
Mm.
If you see puppies biting each other's ears, that's already a form of fighting, simulated fighting, mm-hmm. without that they are really hurting each other. Mm-hmm. But if children doing that, biting each other or punching, then you're like, no, that's bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is our true nature, that you are finding your place in this circle of life. Huh?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Feels like Lion King-ish.
Yeah. That's a different episode.
But we are trying to find our own place, mm-hmm. in the society, in the little society that you're in when you're a baby, when yeah. you're young. And by cutting that out, by saying like, yeah, you have to sit still and shut up, basically, that's what we are taught in school. Then you build up energy, which is, you don't know how to work with your emotions, how to cope with stress, but how to cope also with things that, if they go well or not going well.
So we're suppressing that,
yeah,
basically.
We're suppressing that. Wow. And through martial arts, basically, I get you into the primal feeling that you're like, oh yeah, I get energized, I get this blood flowing. And when there's blood flowing more, the brain starts working more. And at that moment, when I see like, okay, you're going before you actually jump into emotions or like you really want to go, I ask the question so that I'm still in your human brain, but also linking it to the primal part, and which makes the recovery or whatever you're walking into, you become even more aware of that.
Whoa. What kind of question would that be?
Well, for example, when I see people punching, and then they're looking at me, but I notice when they're punching on my punching pad that are not seeing me.
They're looking at the pad only.
No. You see like this glare. They are not in their surrounding. They're in their brain or they're in their body stuck in an emotion or yeah. in something that happened. For example, a boss that was not nice to that person. Yeah. And then you see that they're with this situation.
Yeah, they're in their heads basically.
In the office.
Yeah, yeah.
While they're outside boxing with me. Hmm. And then I'm asking this question, okay, you're now in the office. What's going on there? Huh. And they're like, oh, I really want to punch that person. Okay, is it anger or are you disappointed in yourself? Ooh, and then you see people like thinking and then they are still in the primal energy.
Yeah.
But they're also connected with their potential.
Whoa.
And then when they notice this, that they're, okay, this is what I endure. Okay, what do you want to? I want to release it. Okay, now it's time. Look at me. Now you can release it. And then you really see the eyes, you see that changing.
So they lose the glare.
They lose the glare and then they get focused on themselves. They get into their own power.
Wow. So through boxing, you actually help them get rid of like emotions that they suppress
yeah.
mentally.
Yeah.
Get them out there and actually solve the problem within their heads by just like using that energy as almost symbolic, you would say,
it's
right?
Symbolic, yeah.
Yeah.
It's some people say like, yeah, you've got it from neuro-linguistic programming. Mm. But the fun thing is every method is linked with each other.
Sure.
And making the connection with the brain, with the body, with the mind, this unity creates, sometimes you need to start with the mind with some people need to be moved first with the body. Mm. And some people are just like, okay, you're a logical person or you say that you're logical.
Yeah, yeah.
Explain it to me.
And then you start.
And then, you know, you play around with it.
Wow. Super cool. Very interesting.
There's so much to say that this podcast is too short.
Yeah, indeed. But I think we really got some highlights here of the things that you could do. And I think I really really think that you trigger something here that is very, I would say, unknown, but also very practically alarming, I would say, to people that, mm-hmm. you know, the way they're using their brain, the way they're working and the way maybe they suppress their emotions
yeah.
from being a child, but also maybe just that the office is really wrong.
Yeah.
So what would you advise people that, I think that goes for basically everybody, that has like, let's say, things going on at work that keep them busy in their heads, at also being at home,
mm-hmm.
what would be the best thing to release that? Would that be boxing or would it just be exercising? Is there like one thing they could do?
One of the things that I really like to do is grounding. Just, you know, now
grounding.
I'm sitting like really relaxed.
Yeah.
Well, basically what I ask people to do is sit up straight mm-hmm. and then put their feet flat on the floor like
mm-hmm.
this
mm-hmm.
and just like start breathing.
So sit very, very strict.
Yeah. Yeah, aware straight. Of themselves and then like really start breathing, like breathing in. And feel where they have tension, if they feel it in their chest, in the shoulders, in the neck,
yeah.
in the lower back, in the knees. All these things, that's the first thing that I let people do often.
Okay.
Because it's we're living in a society where martial arts is basically something bad still.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we practice it, it's something that's bad and that's partly due to media, partly due to all the action hero movies, different story. But we tend to forget that we need to have also ways to release things.
Yeah.
If you want to work your brain fully, it's a combination of focus and release.
Yes.
Because everything that happens will be stored somewhere in your body. If you're stressed, overly stressed, because if you, I really need to save the world. You know, Atlas wanted to save the world, carries the whole global, the world globe. That's often how we are.
Yeah. And carry the world on our shoulders.
Carrying the world on our shoulders. And that's what you need to release, that you really drop it off. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I feel lighter in my shoulder. Okay, what was actually the problem? Then you can take a look at it, then you can take a distance. So you have first, like, okay, I'm here now, in the now present.
Yeah.
Then you take a step back or a few steps back that you can see the overall picture.
Yeah.
And then you decide, do you want to go deep in it, or do you need to solve it now, or maybe you need to find somebody to solve it. And that's, and doesn't matter what, if you're using the brain, if you're using coaching, if you are talking to plants, whatever.
Yeah.
It's this process. Hmm. You're here now.
Yeah. Ground yourself here. Yeah.
Yeah. Ground yourself in the now.
Yeah.
And then you step back. Okay, what happened actually?
Yeah.
Then you start digesting.
Okay.
And this, by the way, it's also same for studying. You know, you're into this material, and then you're like, okay, I need to take a little break.
Yeah. And then actually, like, internalize it and see what happens. Yeah.
Then you can start digesting it. That's why sleep is so very important.
Oh, yeah. We know. Yeah, it's essential to life. We know. Yeah.
And for example, in the programming of my family, for example, if my brother used to get mad or my father used to get mad about something, or they could not solve something, they're getting tired. They immediately want to go to sleep. They sleep for 15, 20 minutes or an hour.
Okay.
And then after that, they had a solution to things in life.
Yeah. Another great tip, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, sleep on it. It's definitely...
Sleep on it. But then power sleep on it, maybe.
Yeah. There's this, power naps. Definitely, because then your brain will start digesting what you've encountered.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I'm hearing, like, you could write a book on this.
It goes from this to there, our talk.
No, but I think all of this, like, it's all interconnected.
It's all connected.
Yeah.
And there, if you get it back to the basics... That's what I like to train also with people. If you want to do the flying kicks, first understand the basics.
Yeah.
And the basics are really, okay, what are you here now for? What happened? And then you go back, you zoom out, and then you zoom in back.
Yeah.
And that makes it
That's powerful.
That's powerful.
Great. Awesome. Thanks so much for sharing all this knowledge and tips and interesting insights in how to sleep, work, exercise and study and much more. So I think this goes for a lot of people. As a last question, I'd love to ask you, what's the contribution you want to have on the world with everything you're doing?
Oh, wow. I always have an idea of, like, at least 10 million people in my lifetime that I can touch them to make their world, their surrounding that they're in, even better. Hmm. 10 million people that, whatever, everywhere around the globe, even if we, after this talk, you're like, oh yeah, some of the ideas are really fun, I really want to use them, then already have influenced your surrounding, you know.
Definitely.
That's what I'd love to do. I have a few thousand on my list already.
Yes.
But I need to step it up.
10 million. Okay. You have a lifetime left.
So people, if you want me to speak on your stage, let me know.
Definitely. We'll definitely link you and show where you're at. And I think much interest for this. And also just the combination of exercise, head, and practicality, but also inspiration. So thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks so much for sharing.
Yeah, love to. And good luck also with the upcoming podcast, because you have great people already in, so that's nice.
Thanks. Yeah, we're going to be working hard on that. Thanks.